Hello and welcome to Reach Mahjong's podcast. Today is July. Today is July 16th, and we are coming at you from our fantastic studio in Nishi Nippori.
Yes.
With me, as always, is Jen Barr.
Hello.
How's it going?
Good.
Good, huh?
Good. Busy.
Fantastic. Yes, yes, I know the feeling. And with me, as always, is me, Garth. Garth Nelson.
Hi, Garth.
How's it going? Yes, I said that already. I'm a little slow today because last night I played Mahjong all night.
Yeah, you know, I actually did as well. I went to the Free Janzo, the casino-style Mahjong parlor for the first time in months.
Really? And you played all night?
Well, no, I played until about 2:30 or 3, and then maybe 3. I played until about 3 and then went home and worked.
Wow, very nice. How'd you do?
I don't think I won. The first game I got second. I got like more than 40,000 in second place, and then second game, I didn't win. And the third game, I definitely didn't win.
Jeez. How many games do you think you played?
3.
Wow.
I think I played exactly 3.
Well, since you asked, I did very well, actually.
Good.
I didn't quite kick the same ass that Osawa did, one of my buddies from Sma Station. He could not stop winning. Like, every time he reached, oh, look at that, he puts a small. Unbelievable. But when he wasn't winning, generally, I was. So, and actually, when I won, I had gigantic wins. Like, I would have, like, 70,000 points or 80,000 points.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so I didn't actually have to win that many, although I did have a streak where I won 4 games in a row. And of course, we're playing special rules, you know, the Waremei rules.
Yeah.
That's a special rule where, depending on where the wall gets broken, that player will have to pay twice as many points, or he'll get to receive twice as many points for whatever happens in that hand.
You can play those rules in LA, actually.
Yeah, it's true. Actually, yeah. The place that I played in LA was used those rules. And one of the things about those rules is it makes somebody lose the game a lot faster.
Yeah. But in my case, East's second round.
Yes.
Or second hand, actually.
We had quite a few games that finished after 2 or 3 hands.
Yeah.
And it was funny because my old boss from Sma Station was complaining about the fact that we were playing Ton Pu. And so he's like, all right,
let's
play.
East only.
Yes, or we were playing East only games. So, all right, let's play East and South games. And we started playing East and South games, and we never made it to the South round anyway because people kept dying beforehand. So I won about 14,000 yen last night, which is not bad.
Yeah, not bad.
Considering that I lost 30,000 yen at Yu Yu the other day. Whoops!
Well, that was a business investment.
Yes, yes. trying to get people's interested, yes. So, but yeah, actually last night I did pretty well. But so I think we played from, say, 11 o'clock p.m. until 8 a.m. And I think we have to have played at least 20, maybe 20, 24
wow.
games.
Wow, lots.
Yeah, those guys, and they just get faster and faster and faster as the night moves along, and then they start playing worse and worse and worse because they're not thinking anymore.
Definitely.
You just get into like bad habits, like you just start going for the same kind of big hand, the biggest hand you can put together, and then you end up throwing to me and Osawa.
Yeah, that's where all the practice comes in, because you have those good habits, and you don't have to think as much as them.
Exactly, exactly.
I actually played yesterday with a guy who was hard of hearing. That was the
really?
First time I ever did that. Yeah.
Huh. So was there something special you had to do when you were playing to accommodate him as a hard of hearing player? Or?
Well, so he didn't actually say the words. He made sounds like when he reached, he didn't say reach.
He's also has trouble speaking because he's okay.
Right. And when we were saying the points. Uh-huh. Yeah, at first I didn't realize it. So I won the hand and I was the dealer and I won a hand from Mangan for 12,000.
Uh-huh.
And he handed me 8,000. And I'm like, I'm the dealer, so I get 12,000. You know, I was just talking because I didn't know he couldn't hear me.
Right.
And so after a few hands and everyone at the table kind of figured it out, so he started using more hand motions. And and when he won, he would use hand motions as well. So.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny that, I mean, you'd think the people who run the place, like the Mahjong, the parlor members, would have explained to people.
Maybe they just didn't want to, you know, call any special attention or something. Well, I mean, they didn't explain to them that I can actually speak Japanese, even though I'm white. So.
Well, but when I go to the Johnson, when I go to Reds and play, they always explain to all the customers there that I have really bad manners, so they can, if they have any complaints, please just expect that I'm going to do something bad, and then they.
Well, that's very considerate of
yes.
them.
Isn't that very considerate?
Yeah.
So it's much better to deal with lowered expectations than to have people have expectations for you and then you fail. Right? I can deal with low expectations. Okay, well, that's enough introduction, I guess. Let's get into the news.
News, all right.
News, yes.
We'll start with the Reach Mahjong news.
Okay.
We have Gemma working on the site now.
Very nice.
She's doing all of the timing updates. Excuse me for a second. She's doing the timing for all the updates, and we're basically feeding her content, and she's taking care of all of the administration. So she's also working on getting a new forum, since Yakitori is down, and has been down for over a month now, and it doesn't look like we will get it back up, although we are trying to. Mm-hmm. So we are going to start a new forum. So I hope everybody will join that, and it's going to hopefully be a lot more interactive and connected to our site as well.
Good. And hopefully we can get a lot of the discussions back up there that like we had on Yakitori. Huh?
Right. We want to get as many up as possible.
Hmm.
We also have the interview with Shigekazu Moriyama, our mentor who played in Germany. That was a really fun interview.
Yeah, and really insightful, too.
Yeah, I mean...
But talk about a rare chance.
Yeah, someone who's been in the industry basically since it was born.
Hmm.
And basically created the professional Mahjong player. As it's known today. So that's in two parts. You get half of it this month and half of it next month, I believe. So enjoy that. There's a what would you discard question up there. And a wonderful article by Garth about red fives. Because there were red fives used in the European tournament that we went to last month. And I think they're part of the official EMA rules because the rules for that tournament were the official EMA Reach rules.
Really?
Which are also now being used on Mahjong Time, the online game that we don't play on, but many people play on.
That's interesting.
So that means that you can't, with those rules, you also can't call for tiles for the all simples hand, for the Tanyao 2-8 hand. And.
Huh. I guess in exchange for allowing red fives, then to make it more...
I don't think it's exchange for red fives. It's just a rule that, you know, it's... I mean, it used to be here in Japan, too, and nobody uses it anymore, but it was just something that was in the original rules, and they wanted to keep it, I guess, to add a challenge or something.
Mm, interesting.
A little bit more news. We went to the European tournament last month in Germany, the European Reach Mahjong Championship, and that was great.
Yes.
We had an awesome time there.
Good times and, I don't know, okay performance.
You had a pretty good performance.
Well, I wanted first.
So, Thomas, I think it's Krog.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if I pronounced that correctly, but he got first place. He's from Denmark. And Benjamin Boas got second from the USA. And Ping Song from China got third. So, it was a very international ranking.
Yes, and congratulations to them for some superior play.
Yeah, and Chef and Martin put it on from the Netherlands Mahjong Club, and they did a really great job.
Yes, special thanks going out to those guys for putting on such a fun tournament.
Yeah, definitely. And unfortunately, one guy who was going to, or who helped like basically create the Reach population in Europe, Franz Roquois, I think is how you say his name?
Uh-huh.
He actually passed away before the tournament, so unfortunately we didn't get to meet him. It was really sad. I was actually really looking forward to meeting him. So I know he was a very good friend with most of the people in the Netherlands Mahjong Club. So our condolences for that loss.
Very nice.
And the last piece of news for Europe is that Austria is having a Reach Mahjong Championship in August, next month.
Wow, and who's invited?
I think it's everybody. It's also an international tournament. It's going to be on August 15th, the day before the Open Austrian Mahjong Championship. So it's basically they're having a Mahjong series. The first day is going to be a Reach Mahjong Championship, and the next day is going to be the Chinese official rules.
Wow.
Or the next 2 days, possibly. I'm not sure.
Way to go, Austria.
Yeah. So that's great. And I think our last piece of news would be for the World Series of Mahjong. You can now register for the Reach tournament with using a credit card.
Oh, very
nice. Which you couldn't do before. So now you can register for both tournaments together on CityLine, the official payment site for the World Series of Mahjong. And you can use your credit card to sign up for both of those events.
Sounds good. All right. In other news, I guess we have the league roundup.
Yep.
Let's see. Starting at the top in A1, Mochizuki. That's how you pronounce him, right?
Yeah.
He's the champion from the last 2 years, although not the current reigning champion, which would be Mr. Tomotaki. He is back at the top of A1, so it looks like he will be challenging Tomotaki again for the top spot.
Yeah, God, he must be good.
Yeah, he seems to know a little something about Mahjong. Let's see, other names of note. Maehara has had he had a really rough day 2 sessions ago, and then last session he had kind of a just average down day.
Yeah, we didn't have a podcast in between 2 sessions ago, so we're kind of covering
2 at a time. All right, there we go. So yeah, 2 times ago, Maehara had a really rough time, minus 80 and then minus 10 last time. So he's down in 7th place. And let's see, that's about it. That's enough for A1. Who cares about those guys? Yeah, boring.
Yeah.
Except for one thing. I told you about this already, but the level of play for A1 players. Like when the other day we were at the Champions League, right? And my first table, I sit down and it's Tomotaki-san and Fujiwara-san. 2 A1 players that I get to play with in Champions League. Oh, thanks.
Lucky. Isn't that why you play Champions League?
But actually, yes, exactly. That is correct. And what a chance to play. What a chance, you know? And it was funny to sit down with those guys and they're just joking around. Like, they're just having fun playing and they're laughing at each other for like, I had this gigantic hand that I couldn't win, and those like, other guys are like, oh, look at this, I won with this. But the first hand, Tomotake is throwing characters. He throws the 8 of characters, he throws the 7 of characters, he throws the 4 of characters, he throws the 8 of characters, he throws the 5 of characters. So I'm thinking, okay, if there's one thing I know, he's not keeping characters in the upper range. Like, there's if he says reach or something, then I know at least characters in the upper range are going to be safe.
Right.
After about 10 or 11 draws, the dealer says reach. As soon as he says reach, Tomotake says reach also. So he was already ready, and he was just waiting for, you know, somebody to throw his winner. But since the Oya said reach, he might as well say reach too and get a few more points.
Yeah.
Sure enough, his first thing that he draws is the 9 of characters. Oh, dude, look at all those characters. Of course it's safe. He throws the 9 of characters. No. Are you kidding me? I mean, the one thing that I thought I could read from what he had. If there's one thing, I don't really know what he's waiting for, but I do know that he's not waiting for the high characters.
That was a really good read.
Wrong. Wrong! Oh, man, it's just a different level.
Yeah.
They are playing a different game from the one that I'm playing currently. The rules are all the same, and yet somehow it's different.
I was noticing in A1 there was, like, a huge... Last session, there was a huge minus. There are a lot of big minuses, and this session there are actually a lot of big pluses.
That's true, actually, yeah. This time there was a plus 90 and a plus 40.
Last time there's a minus 80 and a minus 47. Or minus 87 and a minus 47.
Yeah, this time the biggest minuses were only like in the low 40s.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So I'm not sure what that means. It was just an interesting trend I noticed.
Well, yeah, also interesting is out of the 12 players, only 4 players are positive and 8 players are negative.
Yeah, that is definitely an interesting ratio.
Yeah. And of course Mochizuki is killing the field at plus 150. He's almost 50 points ahead of the second place player.
Wow.
So, way to go him. And the second place player had a plus 90. Wow. Second and third place had plus 90 points.
Wow, so that was another person who was minus before that.
Yeah.
And actually, maybe. Even the fourth place player was minus before the last session.
Yeah. Wow. Some big scores in the last session.
Mostly big negative scores. I'm glad that it's the A1 guys that are getting negative scores, too.
Yeah, it's nice to see that somebody else can suck it up. In A2, we've got Ito-san holding on to the number one spot. He had kind of an uneventful day, but it was still enough to hold on to number one. And Sawazaki also is holding on to his... I guess he's not holding on. He's dropped down to third place with kind of a rough day, but he's still in good shape. He could, if he keeps it up, move back up to A1 is what I heard. I heard he was in A1 before and he dropped down to A2.
He was in A1 when we started.
Oh, okay. And now he's looks set to actually move back into, well, not set, but he has a good shot at moving back into A1 if he keeps it up. No big change with Taki. He had a minus two, so he stays.
Yeah, he never has a lot of big changes in league.
Yeah, he has really non-eventful league sessions. So he's hanging out in 10th place in the A2 league. But big news would have to be our buddy Ohashi with a huge comeback two sessions ago and then another good score last session.
Yeah, he was so far down.
Yeah, he had a minus 130 session and then a minus 30 session before that. And now he's back up to only minus 40, which puts him in 13th place. But more importantly, it at least gets him within shooting distance of keeping himself from falling out of A2.
Yeah, that's a great comeback. Yeah. Way to go him.
and
he still has like 5 or 6 more sessions.
Yeah,
so.
5 or 6 more sessions. And if he keeps it up like this, who knows? Maybe he'll overtake Sawazaki-san.
Could be.
Yeah, he's on pace. Moving into the other leagues, we have B2, and holy cow, what is that score? 200? Aki Nikaido is killing the field with a plus 200 score.
You know, she just really is good.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to debate that. We thought that this was going to that she might actually be the first woman to ever even make it to A2, but after talking to, who was it, Fujiwara?
No, we were talking to Kono.
Kondo. Actually, there have been several women in A2, and even maybe one that
there was... There was one that was in A1, and there were a few that were in A2, but not a lot.
Right. Not a lot, but it's actually, a little unexpected. We always think of Mahjong as, I mean, from a long time ago, and even now, still being such a guy's world.
Yeah.
Women have been successful in Mahjong in the past, too, so it's not so surprising that a woman would be successful. Even here in Japan.
But Aki is, she's really good. And she's also, the reigning Women's League champion for last year. And she's killing it in B1.
Right.
And she's won Pro Queen once or twice. And, once or twice. Or
yeah.
Out of the five years they've had it.
At plus 220, she's already more than 150 points ahead of the second place player.
Wow.
It's extremely unlikely that she would be able to drop down enough that she would not take at least second place, if not just first.
Yeah, with only one more session to go. She's
right. And this is what I didn't understand this before, but you just explained to me, and I'll explain to our listeners. The way it works for the B2 league, or B1 league, since B1, from the B leagues down, it's only a half-year session. If Aki wins this session, then she takes the next session off, and the top two people from the B1 league move into A2 at the end of A2's next session.
Yeah, so they'll move up in April.
Right. And so then she gets like a half year off, which is pretty awesome. Also in B1, Kono Shindaro, our... helpful guy in at the
our rules director for the World Series of Mahjong Reach tournament.
Also known, it says, doesn't it say on his business card, helpful guy?
I think that's the direct translation.
Title, yes. Superstar Kondo Shintaro is sort of holding his position in eighth. He had a plus one, so yeah, big non-event there. And someone who is not keeping up with her sister, Nikaido Rumi. Had kind of a non-eventful day. She's holding steady at 13th place with minus 53. She needs to be careful. A few more minus, or a little bit of minus this time, and she will drop back down to B2. So yes, rooting for the Nikaido sisters to kill the field. Moving down to B2, one of my favorite Mahjong player in the whole world.
Hisato!
Sasaki Hisato is doing pretty well. He got a plus 19. He hasn't had any... the session before he had a plus 30, which is... It's a good plus, but it's nothing really spectacular, right? He's just kind of, you know, steadily increasing his points, which is probably the sign of a pretty good player, although I hate to admit it. he is currently in fourth for B2, which is good enough to move him into B1 if he can keep it up.
Didn't somebody usually call him like a monkey or something? I think I heard some guy say that before.
Yes. Well, just to explain why I call him a monkey, you know that saying in English that if you put 100 monkeys in a room with 100 computers, eventually one of them will type out the works of Shakespeare. He is that monkey. He is just.
Do you really think that they'll type out all the works of Shakespeare? Like, one will do one work and then another one will do another work?
No, if you put them in there long enough, eventually one of those guys is just going to get it. It's amazing, but eventually it'll happen.
I think that
he is that monkey. He's just going for it all the time, and somehow he doesn't throw my winner. I don't understand how he does that. All right, moving down to C1. Not too many names in there that we follow, but Kurosawa Saki. She's not having a very spectacular session. She's in 13th, but if she has a, well, take a pretty good day to move up to 5th from 13th. So nobody we know is going to move up out of C1. In C2, Yuki Michi, former Women's League champion, is... probably going to be able to move out of C2 into C1. She is currently in second, and she's got a pretty good lead on the other three or four people behind her. So she has a good shot at moving into C1. Kozue, she was up, or she was down, and then she was up, and a little bit, and then she's down again. So she is in 25th place in C2. Not in danger, not in really large danger, but she doesn't want to have too big a minus a day again, or she might move back down to C3. Let's see. In C3, our buddy Kamimura, whose Jonso we have the special practice sessions at, he has kind of an okay positive score, but he's going to need a pretty big win to move out of C3. Let's see, Izumi had a great session in the last time to sort of save herself from the danger of falling out of C3, so she's probably safe, although she's probably not going to move up also.
On Izumi, we also have an interview scheduled with her to go up in September, so
right.
Look forward to that.
Yes, look forward to talking and getting some insights from Izumi. A little bit different from the insights that we get from Moriyama.
Well, Izumi, the interesting thing about Izumi is, like, she was on this TV show called Ainori.
Uh-huh.
And which is one of the most famous TV shows in Japan. And so she actually was, for a time, and maybe even now, was the most famous Mahjong player in Japan.
Wow, interesting.
And not necessarily for Mahjong, but for being on the TV show as a professional Mahjong player.
Yeah, it's funny, actually, when I was teaching in high school and I mentioned that I played Mahjong and actually I belong to, you know, the Japan Professional Mahjong League, the instant reaction was like, no way, do you know Izumi?
Yeah, everybody, I mean, the Ainori, it's like a love version of Survivor.
Right.
So you think of, like, in poker, John Robert was on Survivor, this poker player, and you know, if he wasn't on that show, he might not be that well-known, but he might be one of the most well-known poker players
in the world just because he was on Survivor.
In America, yeah, just because he was on Survivor, because, you know, the demographic is for Survivor is much bigger than that of whatever games he's playing.
Okay, yes, let's finish up the league roundup here. Also in C3, Ikue, who was just about to move out of C3 into C2 at the end of last session, is having a terrible session this time. She is in danger of moving back down to D1 with us, except... Holy cow, we have some bad news for our last sessions in D1.
I got a little bit negative.
Yes.
Again,
our buddy Wanchan had a pretty good day. She was in at the same table as I was. We'll get to me later. In 33rd is Jen now. She had kind of a, you had what, a small minus?
Yeah, just a little bit minus. Well, I think I had like one huge win and then one big loss and two small losses or something. I ended up second at my table with minus 13.
Wow, so somebody must have had a pretty good day there.
Yeah. Huh? And I didn't have like a really easy table. I mean, it wasn't really, really hard, but I don't know. It's just, it's really a thing with patience, and that's our subject today that we'll talk about later, but... But let's talk about you first.
Oh, yeah. Oh, goodness. Twice in a row, I chumboed. I fouled. I had a minus 20-point foul. But it wasn't quite in a row. It was two times in 5 minutes. And not only was it two times a foul, but it was exactly the same kind of foul. And both times from the same person. I got my hand to ready, but as it turned out, I had already thrown away one of my winning tiles. But, you know, that doesn't stop me. I said beach, and sure enough, because my tile was sitting there, somebody threw it because she thought it was safe. In fact, it is safe. And I said roan, and that is worth minus 20 points when you do that. That's free 10, of course, in Japanese, or missed win in English. And, you know, if I want to make excuses, I could say that I had my birthday party the day before and I was pretty hungover.
It seemed to me that maybe you weren't quite hungover yet. I'm not quite sure, but as far as the
fact odor?
That I had to give you some gum, it made me think that maybe you were on your way to being hungover and
yes.
Not quite there yet.
Yes.
I'm not sure. This was just my conjecture. So I don't want to spread any rumors or...
Right, yes. Don't start any rumors about that guy. One thing is for sure, I did not want to be there. Oh, goodness. So I got a minus 62 last time, minus 40 points of which were just from those fouls. And
wow,
that puts
not
me...
that bad for two fouls.
So that puts me at minus 126 and 5 from the bottom, and 9 people will move down from our league back into D2. So I am in large danger of moving into D2. I really need a good session at the end of
we both kind of need a positive section. I mean,
right.
Nothing could be worse than you getting a huge positive and overtaking me way up there.
Then you dropping down. But you'd need a pretty good, you need a pretty big drop to fall into the last 9. In fact, one of our buddies was pointing out enough people probably end up quitting that you have to be like say in the last 4 or 5 to really end up falling out.
Yeah, but I think that happens more at the end of the year and a little bit less halfway through the year. So.
Uh-huh. And one other friend of ours, Toida-san, who also started at the same time as us, looks like he, if he has another good session, or at least another sort of average session, will move up into D1 finally. Just like, you know, after it took us so long. But who knows, maybe I will be back there myself in a couple.
Well, you're going to have to come early and rail me if that happens. Because if that happens, we certainly need to work on our games.
Yes,
more, so.
God, need work. And speaking of needing work in our game, so, that brings us to our subject for today, patience.
Yes, patience.
What did you want to say about patience?
Well, I mean, you look at my score from last time. I got minus 13. That's not, you know, that's not a huge minus for a league tournament. That's pretty standard.
Uh-huh.
If you're gonna be minus, it's actually a good minus because it's not big. The thing is, I had one huge win and one really big loss.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, why did I have to have that big loss?
Uh-huh.
Because I was impatient.
You can attribute your big loss to having played impatiently.
A lot of the times. I mean, not every time, obviously, but a lot of the times. I mean, I have a lot of big losses lately, and I used to have no big losses ever.
Uh-huh.
And I used to fold hands a lot, and lately I just have not been folding hands a lot.
Huh.
Sometimes I'll fold hands, but I really got bored of folding hands.
Yeah, I that's never been part of my game, I have to say. And I have very little I can say about patience because I really don't know how to play that way.
All right, well, maybe this is a good subject.
yes. The thing is, you know, I mean, I don't know, when I like when I was talking about the game that I played with Tomotaki, you know, when I try to read somebody's stuff, it's happens so often that if there's one thing that I think I can really determine for sure from what, you know, that they've been throwing away, that's the most wrong thing ever. And it happens in poker too. Like I'll be like,
well,
thinking,
you know, he could have just outplayed you. It might not be that you know, it was a bad read.
Mm.
I mean, you know, that's a trap, and sometimes people can set traps and they're successful even against other good players.
And it's true. I mean, I set that kind of trap all the time if I can. Like if I have 7, 8, 8 of characters or dots or whatever, I'll throw that 8 early. Just so that it looks like, oh, I'm not waiting for stuff in that area.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if I get to niche, or if I get to ready, and it happens to be the thing that I'm waiting for is that 6 or 9, then, you know, I always think, oh, this is a great wait, because people are going to see that early 8 and they're going to think, oh, well, at least he's not waiting for, you know, anything in that area.
No, yeah, and that's, you know, that's what it's about. It's about taking those opportunities and finding those opportunities. And those opportunities are not really abundant.
Mm.
And that's part of the patience. You know, you have to know when to look for those opportunities to trap players, or
uh-huh.
or when to go for big hands, and when to not reach. I mean, not reaching is huge, because reach is so fun.
Yeah.
And when you have a big hand and you don't need to reach, you really just need to like keep your hand back, and that's part of the patience too. You know.
Yes, that is a big part of it. If you leech and tell everybody that your hand is ready, and because of that you don't end up winning the hand, it is such a huge loss.
Yeah.
Then it, compared to, all right, so you could have just not said anything, and you could have waited for a slightly cheaper version, you know, bunch of points from somebody because you didn't leech, but it's worth so much more than letting somebody else take some points from you, or maybe even taking a lot of points.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely. And so, you know, that's part of the patience, not reaching when you shouldn't, or
right.
when you don't need to. And also, even things as simple as discarding your tiles. You know, if you're the first dealer and you know, you really should arrange your hands so that you can see it if that's something you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have to feel rushed by the other players, and that's part of the being patient as well. You don't have to feel rushed by other players. You can just, you know, look at your hand and make sure you're discarding correctly. Because really, the most important thing is your hand and your game, and you don't have to really worry about it. I mean, over here in Japan, there's a lot of things about making things difficult for other players. So you want to discard quickly so that you don't cause them to wait.
Right.
But really, you have to take care of your own hand first.
Right.
And so, you know, not to get excited about that, and to be patient
right.
and make sure that you know what tiles you have and what you're going to discard. And also a huge one is when you're scoring, be patient and make sure you count all the points correctly, because if you count less, then
that's right.
You know, that's the same as losing those points.
Right. Yeah, it's like you threw a hand to somebody. Those were points that you could have had, but you don't have them because you misscored. Huh, very interesting. Yes, patience is something I could probably think about a lot.
So, yeah, you know, in the last league session, and in a lot of other games, too, I'm going for it, you know, and things don't look that scary. And then there's someone else who has a hand that they didn't reach on, and it's huge, and I end up letting them win because I was just, you know, going for my big hand.
Mm.
And sometimes you have to do that, and sometimes you're, you know, inevitably going to lose, but...
Huh. It's interesting that you say that, because I was going to make the point that I think, okay, well, in League Sen, it's true, you do want to be more patient, because, you know, especially in regard to reach, because there's so much less reward for reach at League than there is, like, say, playing a cash game in the Mahjong Parlor, because in the Mahjong Parlor, you'll have, like, the Hidden Lucky Dragon, and you also possibly have the first turn win, right? So that's a lot of points that you can just get just because you're lucky, right? We can't get those points
in league
because we don't have those reach rules. So it's true that in League you do need to be more patient there with regard to reach. And then I was going to say, but you know, in the Mahjong Parlor, once you get to Tenpai, you should reach all the time because you know, I mean, there's such a huge reward for when it works.
Right.
But that said, this last week when I went and played in UU, which is a big game, like you know, there's there's three red fives, plus there's a golden five.
Right.
Plus there's like the special white tile, which means, which if you draw it on the first win, it's like Ipatsu no matter what your weight is. And you know, it, and the Uma, like the
placing bonus, yeah.
The placing bonus is huge too. It's like 3,000, 4,000 or something like that. Or maybe it's 2,000, 4,000. So it's a huge game, and in the past when I played that game, it seems like the people who win are just the ones who are going for it, like no patience at all. And the guy that won this time, like with the session that I was playing, like he almost never, he, in fact, I don't think he ever reached until somebody else reached.
Wow.
And like, it was amazing. Like every time somebody reached, all right, then he reaches the next draw. And he was just killing us. Like, you know, he kept, and of course he had monster hands every time he did it too.
Yeah.
And you know, that's partly a little bit of luck, but it's also the fact that he was playing patiently and he was sticking to his game and it was really working for him. And you know, and that's a place where I wouldn't have even thought that being patient would be that effective, and yet it was working great there anyway.
Right. So that's the big thing for today, is look at your game and see where you could be more patient. Because there's lots of places I could be more patient.
Yes, there's certainly some places where I could tone it down too.
I think at the European tournament that we went to last month, you know, there's not a lot of reason to be really patient in there. I mean,
right.
I know we talked to one player, Bjorn,
uh-huh.
and he was talking about how actually he was being patient and it worked for him.
Uh-huh.
And so he got a good score, but he didn't get first place. And then on the other hand, there's Benjamin, who was, I'm sure there was a lot of patience in his game, but...
Mm-hmm.
But he was definitely being very much more aggressive than a lot of the other players, and that got him up to first place. So in a 1 or 2 day tournament like that, you know, mm-hmm. you have to be a lot more aggressive, and the
right.
the patience takes on a kind of different meaning.
There isn't time to be so patient.
Right.
All right. Well, I think that wraps it up for our talk for this week. Do we have any
this
more?
This month,
or
possibly.
This month? Yes, this month. Yeah. My head is not quite so on.
I guess, no, we're busy with our World Series workshops, where
right.
we're practicing the World Series official rules.
If anybody is in Tokyo, please come by and check out the World Series rules.
Right, and also, if you're in the Tokyo area, we're going to have a...
qualifying tournament.
A qualifying tournament, and the week before that, we're going to have a session where we explain about the entire World Series tournament and... how everything's going to go down in Macau
right.
in September. That's going to be on the 4th in the evening time.
Right, and the winner of the qualifying tournament will win entry into the tournament. That's $5,000. Airfare to the tournament, which is probably, what, another, say, $1,000 or so from Japan?
From Japan, maybe $600
or $600, yeah. Okay. And then the hotel for three or four nights.
Which is more closer to
$1,000.
Because they get a room at the Wynn.
Yeah, way to go.
Awesome.
So it's a pretty good deal for whoever wants to join the qualifier, because it's only 3,000 yen for at least a $6,000 to $7,000 worth of prize.
Yeah, and even if you can't come to any of the workshops and you can only come that day, we'll teach you the rules in 30 minutes, and
yeah.
you just the
you,
shot. It's so worth it. You just got to take that
right.
shot, because.
And you know, if you have any experience playing Reach Mahjong, it's not so different from Reach Mahjong. It's
right.
just a few little adjustments you have to make, and we've written them all up, so it's not going to be so difficult.
Right.
So yes, good luck to all those who want to participate in the World Series of Mahjong, at least the qualifier, and then perhaps in the tournament itself. And we hope to see some of you guys online and at the workshops.
Yeah, absolutely. And at the meetups, come to the meetups on
RonRon. That's right. All right.
The meetup for today or this week hasn't been posted.
It hasn't been posted yet?
Perhaps it will be before this podcast is out.
No kidding. Wow, I would have thought I put the dates on that, right?
Possibly. Huh. I don't know, because since Gemma's taking care of that
right.
I haven't looked at it. But
Okay.
Anyway, come join us for the meetups.
Yes.
You can win a gift certificate for mahjongmart.com, where you can get all your jong needs. And we have some new tiles on there and some scoring sticks and stuff. And we're going to be getting more things for the World Series. We're going to be getting like T-shirts and stuff like that. So go ahead and check it out. We
All
want
right.
to say thank you to Jem, because she's going to end up posting this.
And thank you to Shinya for recording it.
Yeah,
thank
every
you.
Time.
And as always, if you would like to reach us, if you have any questions for us or suggestions or comments or whatever, you can mail me, Garth Nelson. That's my email address, Garth, G-A-R-T-H-E, @reachmahjong.com. And your address is?
Is Jen at reachmahjong.com. That's J-E-N-N. And also, I wanted to mention, I'm going to put a link on this podcast, but Shinya's in a band.
Oh, yes. Good
and
music.
And we're going to put a link and maybe some music on this month's content item on this month's article for the podcast. So go ahead and check that out.
All right. Very good. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you.
Take it easy. After this beat.